Negotiations continue behind the scenes on what to do with the nearly 700,000 so-called Dreamers in the U.S. who were brought to this country as children when undocumented relatives took them across the border. There's support on both sides for an agreement, but little public progress. Arizona Senator Jeff Flake said yesterday, quote, "We don't need partisan bills that send a message. We need bipartisan solutions that can pass the Senate." Flake continued, "If we hope to protect DACA recipients, both sides need to compromise," end quote. To learn more about what's going on with DACA and Dreamer-related legislation, I'm joined by Teresa Cardinal Brown, Director of Immigration and Cross-Border Policy of the Bipartisan Policy Center. Teresa, since this is an issue that has bipartisan support, what are the sticking points?
I think some of the sticking points are what goes along with the DACA or Dream fix, right? There seems to be bipartisan agreement that they want to do something for this group of people. Even the president has said so, but it can't go by itself. The Republicans are insisting that some enforcement measures accompanying it. Democrats are okay with some of those and not okay with others. And I think all sides are trying to avoid turning this into a very big immigration Christmas tree, if you will, that becomes comprehensive immigration reform all over again. They want to try to keep it fairly narrow, but yet they see this as the best chance to get things that they may have wanted. So on the Republican side, that's increased enforcement measures, particularly interior enforcement measures. On the Democrat side, they're willing to go with some border enforcement measures. Interior enforcement implicates a much larger group of people that they want to see protections for, but they want the broadest possible Dream Act they can get. And so that's where the debate lies right now.
Does a path to citizenship have to be included, or for many senators and even the White House, is that a deal breaker?
I don't know that that's really an issue for this group of people, and I'll tell you why. In part because it's recognized, I think, again, on both sides of the aisle, that these people were brought as children. They are not culpable for the act of illegal immigration that brought them here, and they've grown up here. They are American in every way but papers, right? So for the majority of people, I think allowing them to get citizenship isn't necessarily a sticking point. What some have raised is whether or not if they get citizenship, they could then sponsor their parents or other immigrants who may have also come illegally, and that implicates a broader legalization than they may want to do. So I think that's the question that's at play, the policy issue at play right now, not necessarily just citizenship for this group of people. I will say there are some who would prefer not to give them citizenship, but I think the majority are okay with that. It's who else might come along.
When it comes to putting together something like this, and we look at outside forces, special interests, whatever it may be, the business community, are there certain groups that may have more influence in sort of getting both sides of the aisle to work on this or actually come to an agreement?
Well, I think, you know, we held a press conference last Friday with a really broad range of organizations that we have been talking to and working with from both the left and the right, from business, from labor, from advocacy community, from faith community, conservative and liberal. And there is a broad spectrum of support for this group of people, and all of them are active right now. Today, there's a nationwide campaign called iMarch to support a solution for the Dreamers that's supported by a lot of different organizations. I think on the other side of the aisle, you've always had interest groups, if you will, or influencers who have promoted a more enforcement-first policy when it comes to immigration. They want to see stronger enforcement. They are not supportive of amnesty, as they call this, and they also have influence on members of Congress. But at the end of the day, especially right now, when Congress is facing an awful lot of issues they have to get done before they leave for the year, including funding the government, right now a lot of this is about leverage. It's about the political leverage. Who has the votes that are needed to get the must-pass things done, and how can they use that to negotiate for these priorities they have? So on the Republican side, Republican leadership is trying to tell Democrats, hey, look, we have the majority. You have to give us something more than just, you know, let us pass Dream. And for the Democrats, they're saying, yeah, it may be true, but you need our votes to do all these other things that you want. So in order to get our votes, we want the package to be, you know, not all the enforcement stuff you want. So right now, there's a lot of people sort of playing out that leverage for the end of the year to the last minute, if you will. What that means is that it can either come together at the last minute when everybody sort of says, okay, here's what it's going to take to get done, and we're willing to agree to that, or it won't. They'll come together and say, I can't go that far, and we're not going to be able to get this done.
How big a deal would it be if a new DREAM Act comes into effect, the Dreamers are to whatever extent taken care of, and how big a disappointment would it be if that doesn't happen?
Well, you have certainly almost 700,000 Dreamers right now whose lives are hanging in the balance, but more importantly, you have all of their family members. Many of them, the Dreamers, the DACA recipients who have work authorization now, are helping to support family. They are key employees in jobs. They may have started their own companies. They're in school. It would be a vast, if in my mind, a vast waste of resources, of talent, of human capital for them to suddenly be pushed back out of the limelight and into the shadows and not be able to contribute to the country they want to be part of. I also think that, you know, if they are able to succeed in getting something done, maybe that rebuilds a modicum of camaraderie and bipartisanship that we can use to then start looking at other parts of the immigration system that also need to be addressed from both sides.
Teresa Cardinal-Brown is Director of Immigration and Cross-Border Policy at the Bipartisan Policy Center.